kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I would like to exhort you today, and I've got a title for our teaching, which we're simply going to call Standing. We're going to call Standing. You know, we're being called to stand like never before in these closing days. And we're going to find that what God has done through the years and the teaching and how he has taught us and so on, we're going to find this absolutely imperative that we stand in these last days. You see, we are being attacked by the powers of darkness. And one of the things that the enemy always tries to do is to get you to retract. He tries to get you to go back. He tries to get us to side with him, to side with the powers of darkness, or to justify. He's ever working to try and remove us from the place that we stand. And of course, we know our standing is upon the rock, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And very often, that's what he tries to do. Because he knows that if he can affect our standing, that weakens us. It begins to take our eyes off the Lord and so on. And I'm basing this teaching today from 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, which says that you also submit to... verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Here the apostle is giving his final exhortation to the church at Corinth. And as he closes with this epistle, he says to them, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And I believe these are the words to us, to encourage us to carry on. God has not made a mistake. He's in control of the world and what is happening and going on. And he is simply saying to us, just stand. Stand and watch what I will do. Now, it's interesting that this word watch means here to give strict attention. So it's not simply standing, but it's standing, giving ourselves strict attention. In other words, we're taking heed. We are listening to what God is saying. We are observing. We're doing what he asks of us. This is what it means. This is what the apostle is saying here, to watch. And of course, this is in connection with the Lord's coming. The Lord is the only one who can get us ready for his appearing, for his coming. Nobody else can do this. You cannot even do this in your own strength. You can only do this as you stand and as you watch, meaning that your eyes are fixed on him and nobody else, and certainly not on the world, because he's going to give us the instructions, he's going to teach us, he's going to guide us and lead us in this last lap that we find ourselves in. And we get a clue of this with the same word to watch in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 and verse 42-43, Matthew 24 verses 42 and 43, which says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." So again, we get this same word, what the apostle says here to the church at Corinth, to watch, stand fast. The Lord is saying exactly the same here. "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming." So we need to be now in an attitude and heart where we are watching. And you can only watch when you remain standing. It can't work otherwise. And then we see another word that is used back in 1 Corinthians 16, where he says not only to watch, but to stand fast. To stand fast. What does he mean by this? Well, he simply means to persevere. We persist. We stay with it. We are not going to be denied. The Lord has promised. I stand on all his promises. I stand on the word. And like the persistent widow, I will not be denied. I will continue to knock. I will continue to believe because God is faithful. This is what it means to stand fast. It's a tenacity. It's staying with it. It's not giving up. And we get an indication of this standing fast in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, he says here to the church at Galatia, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So, of course, in the context of what he's referring to here with this church is to not put yourself back under the law, under works. And he says, whatever's going on, whatever they want to do, he's saying to this church, just stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So he's saying in the context here, to persevere, to persist. Don't go under the works. Move on. You are free from the law. You're free from Judaism. You're free from the Pharisees. That is what is being said here. Which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because that is what it is. It binds you in bondage. And that is what was beginning to happen at this church at Galatia. So there is another word he says. So we've already looked at watch. We're now talking about to stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. And we get this word strong, which again means a standing. When you're strong, you're able to stand. If you're weak, you can't stand very well. That is one of the problems when we're hit with severe weakness. You can't stand on your legs, or you can't stand for very long. So you're not really operative. You're not as strong when sitting to standing. When you sit, you're in a weaker, vulnerable state than when you stand. So he's causing us to be able to stand in these last days. So this word then, to be strong, means to stand. It makes you stronger. You grow in strength. And we get this word, this understanding, from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. And he says here that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. What is he talking about there? He's talking about being strengthened. So where does this strength to stand come from? He says that according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. In other words, in the heart. In your, that part where Christ dwells in you. Your strength to stand, your strength to endure, your strength to overcome doesn't lie just in physical strength. That can certainly have its place. But the strength we're talking about to stand in these last days comes in the heart. And there are some Christians who are actually still quite blind to that. They still think that their standing is in their own strength, in their own bodily strength, in their own mental strength, and so on. It is not. It lies, as the apostle says here, to be strengthened in the inner man, in the heart. Whatever your situation, whatever your trial you're going to through, whether you're going through a physical trial, whether you may be going, may not feel very strong in the flesh, it doesn't matter, because the strength lies in the inner man, in the heart. And this is a strength to be able to stand and endure in these last days, in this final lap that we find ourselves in this race. That is what this is referring to. In other words, we stand firm in the inner man through the word of truth, through the gospel that we hear. This enables us to be able to stand. This is why I've always said, stay with the word of God. Stay with what God gives us and has given us. He doesn't make a mistake, because by staying with it, by hearing the word, getting this word into our hearts, this is what enables us to be able to stand in these last days. Because we are going to see brothers and sisters who will not be standing as they should be. We are going to see a separation of the wise, five wise and five foolish virgins. We are going to experience this, brothers and sisters. And some will not be standing as they should, because they have not paid the cost, the price, to get that extra vessel of oil which the wise virgins did. For what purpose? So that their light remains. Their light doesn't go out. What is the light for? The light is to be able to stand, to be able to see, which is vital. Because that light that goes out with the foolish virgins, where they go and try and get that extra oil, means that their discernment is not what it should be, because they're not seeing. And your light that you have paid the price for, enables you to be able to see in these last closing days, so that you are ready for when Jesus comes for the church in the clouds and he calls us up. You need light for that. You need strength for that. You need to be standing for that, spiritually, that is. So this is what he's referring to. This is what we're getting. So this strength in the inner man, it's a strength of encouragement. It gives us power and it gives us that authority. It makes you active spiritually and not inactive. And it comes by remaining faithful with what God has given to us, because he's made no mistake, brothers and sisters. This is how you stand in these last days. It's not actually rocket science, this. It's actually easier than we realize, this standing. We just make it so difficult because we want to do things our way. We want to have our own way, and so on. And this, of course, is where the cross comes in. This is where we allow the cross to deal with that self-life, that selfish life that wants its own way. That's why I say, when you start to pray God's will, your will be done. Make sure you want God's will to be done. Think before you say that, because it's going to cost. And God is working with us. I know this walk is a sacrifice. I know we're paying a cost for this. There's things we could be doing. There's things we could get involved in. We could plan our life and our futures, but we don't, because we have paid the cost. We have discerned the times that we're living in. We are observing, we are seeing exactly what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 24. And yes, it does mean a sacrifice to what you could be doing. But that sacrifice will be worth it, because what you will receive, the rewards that will be received, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even begin to conceive in our minds and hearts what we're destined for, what we're shortly to experience. And it will be worth it, because you're paying the cost. You're willing to go all that way. And I'll tell you, when you're willing to go all that way, many, many times, you're like a voice in the wilderness crying out, because at times it seems nobody else is walking with you or agrees with you. But I'll tell you, somebody who does, you'll always find that God, Almighty God, is on your side. Hallelujah. And so the reason that I'm stressing all of this, brothers and sisters, is because we are facing unprecedented times. We are beginning to learn, we're beginning to hear what is happening, what is unfolding on the earth. God is getting our attention. We never believed that in the turn of 2020, that there would be a global lockdown. If anybody had said that 6 months earlier, we would have laughed. We would have said, impossible. But there we experience a global lockdown by the powers of darkness. And do you know what? It didn't take very hard to do it. And do you know why? Because you can paralyze the world, you can paralyze and confuse governments with the weapon that the enemy always uses, the number one weapon, and that is fear. Every time. As I've said so many times, it's not COVID that's the killer, it is the fear. Because fear will stop you standing. And the powers of darkness have tried to attack, using this global lockdown to try and attack the church, the overcomers, to stop them from standing. Do you realize that all that is going on planet Earth is to attack you, the church, the overcomers. We're beginning to see in the natural, that is, just how much power the enemy has, because he's still at the moment the god of this world. However, we have been given all authority and power in and through the mighty name of Jesus, in which to bind and divide his hold. And he knows that. And that is why he's attacking in the way that he is. And all that we are seeing, all that we hear, all that we are facing is for one purpose: to attack the church of Jesus Christ. He's coming after us to attack us, and he's using all of this. And this is why we have to stand. Do you remember I said a few weeks ago about a lion when it comes for the attack? A lion will always attack when you run away from it. But when you stand firm and you stand still, that lion will run and come right up to you and will stand still, because it will not know what to do, and then it will turn away. And that is what we're doing now spiritually, brothers and sisters, as we're facing all that's going on now. Because I'm going to tell you now, we are facing a new reset. We are going to see a major change now taking place on the earth. And I don't believe, and I stand to be corrected, but I am convinced more and more as I go along with this, and as I seek God, that this pandemic is not a pandemic, it is a plandemic. The powers of darkness knew what they were doing in this. Trust me. And we're going to see this more and more in order to start to bring in the new reset, the new world order. And this new world order, I believe, is going to be another industrial revolution. Why do I say that? Well, I believe this is going to be the calling of the fourth industrial revolution. We had the first back in the 18th century, when it was the invention of the steam engine. And steam began to work where they started to open factories. Factories started to open where you had like textile industries and so on. So there was one of the first major industrial revolutions. And then it led on to the second industrial revolution, where you had mass industry beginning to open up. And why? Because electricity was developed then. So they were enabled to be able to develop yet further all the machines and everything. And we had all these factories around the world beginning to open up. And then there was the third industrial revolution of the 19th century. And what was that leading towards? The invention of the computer and the eventual digital age. And I believe now that we are moving toward the fourth industrial revolution. And what will this comprise of? Well, some of you have already spoken about it. You've seen it. Yes, we've heard it. We're now beginning to see artificial intelligence. And what are we going to start to see with this? We're going to see an integration of artificial intelligence with human beings, God's creation. And this is what's going to happen. They're wanting to merge this technology, these robots, AI, with human beings. And that will mean by tampering with man's DNA. because the DNA now is coded. Whoever thought that that could ever happen? That is a natural world miracle, what took place there. But they done it, they cracked it. And so now we find ourselves, as we're moving into all of this, that we have 24/7 surveillance now. We're being watched, observed. You have your phones now, your smartphones. All our banking is all gradually changing. I heard that Sweden will no longer have cash in 2 years' time. They're doing away with it. And guess what? Other nations will do exactly the same. All our shopping is changing. We're doing it more now online, which means that all our shopping places, our villages are all changing. The heart of the community is being ripped out, no longer anymore. You see all of this technology. When you go shopping, when you go to the airways and you fly, you see all of this technology now that they have, facial recognition and the lot, watching you as you go through. The same with the medical. It's all changing. We find now that AI, artificial intelligence, is now working through the microchips, where they're connecting microchips to man. They're connecting microchips to his brain, to those who've had strokes or paralysis or artificial limbs to work. We're seeing all of this happening now. It's technology connecting to human beings. And of course, we have our robots, which are replacing all man's jobs. I read that Amazon, one of the world global empires, within about 8 years, 9 years, will not have one single human. It will be robots that will work. Robots will work in the factories, and the robots will deliver through the cars, through the vans. They won't need human beings. They've already said it. And so it raises then, doesn't it, this question: how will humans live? How will they integrate then? How are they going to integrate with all AI and robots and so forth, everything becoming robotic? Well, the Great Recess, the New World Order that's coming, is that you will fundamentally be unemployable. It'll be unemployment. And that is why we're seeing unemployment increasing. And I'm going to tell you that through this global lockdown, which is part of this, to start to make men, women unemployed. Because we are seeing, and we will see, small industry going under. It's already happening. We're already seeing empty shops that will never open. I spoke to a manager in a garage the other week, a village that's very near me, and he said to me, Mr. Page, he said, this village will never be the same when we come through this. And he was in agreement with what we were talking about. He saw it. And he said, this village will never be the same. He said, you look. He said, most of the shops now will never be able to open. They're bankrupt. He said, the heart of this village has gone. And we're going to see this more and more within the next couple of years, I believe strongly. So how is all of this going to be supported? How is it going to be financed? What is going to happen now as we see more and more unemployment, more and more losing their jobs, not being able to find jobs and so on, because technology is taking over? Well, I don't think it takes a lot of working out. Because what are we seeing? We're seeing now the great big global companies around the world getting richer and richer and richer. And the poor getting poorer. And what I think will happen with this is that governments will start to tax these big empires more and more. We're already seeing that they're doing it with Google. And I think for the purpose that they will create a certain tax system which will support humans, those that have lost their jobs, families in which and so on, and this will be done, I think, through a type of tax credit system. And of course, when they start to do this, they can control you. They can control you individually and families, and you've got to behave yourself, and you've got to do what they ask. Does it all sound familiar? Does it sound threatening? Of course it is, because it's going to be introduced with the mark of the beast so that you can survive, you can sell, you can eat, you can live. But it's also going to introduce something else, this word that's coming up more and more, eugenics, because you see, you cannot support all the world in this way. And so it will mean that you have to start to depopulate the world. And that is where your vaccines start to come in. We already know, they've already spoken out, that this is what they intend to do. To start to depopulate. Something I read the other day, which really rang an alarm bell in me. As I said to you, I believe that this is not a pandemic, it's a plandemic. They are finding now, through testing men, younger men, and particularly men who have had COVID, they have found that their sperm count has dropped dramatically. And I thought, very interesting. It's all being set by the powers of darkness. I believe that COVID isn't coincidental. And I believe that it's all planned, it's planned by the powers of darkness through 2020. To bring in, I believe, the Great Reset. Now, where is the Great Reset discussed? Well, it's going to be coming up in April in Davos. And all your elite, your global leaders, which I might add, are not voted for. None of us elected them, voted for them, but they are going to meet to decide on our future. Why? Because they have the power. And what is power is money. And one of the things you can be absolutely assured that these pharmaceutical companies who produced these vaccines are making trillions out of this. They really are. They are rubbing their hands through the fear that's being propagated through these vaccines. And some of us, I'm getting it myself, are getting opposition from people I know. I've been told that I'm unkind. I'm not thinking of my fellow man. I'm being selfish by not wanting to take the vaccine. And I thought, praise the Lord, hallelujah, the powers of darkness don't like it. Do you know, it has a way of causing you to become stronger, to stand firm, which of course is what we're talking about today. So this reset is going to be on our economies, and they're going to talk to rebuild our economies for the future. In other words, capitalism needs to be reinvented. And what is this reinvention going to be? It means fundamentally you're not really going to own anything. The baby boom of where you could own your own home, have your own car and so forth, it's gone, it's finished. It's going to mean where you are kept, because all of this is changing, transforming. And this is why, brothers and sisters, I am convinced we are merging now into a new industrial revolution. Your own nothing, in other words. Everything's going to be provided for you if you obey and do what they ask. And so you see, they're watching this now through the taking of the vaccine. They're going to see if the world is going to obey and do what it's asked. This is why I've said you cannot believe most of main media anymore. They lie through their teeth. And certainly you cannot believe the BBC anymore. I read just recently that Bill Gates supports their charity work. He gives them billions. So they're already muzzled to be able to speak out the truth to what is really going on. And we're going to see this going on more and more and more. In other words, what is going to happen? You're going to have cars, but you won't be driving those cars. Those cars will drive themselves, so you don't own them anymore. Deliveries. A lot of delivery will be through drones that will deliver to try and reduce the traffic on the roads and so on. All of this technology is coming. We're seeing it. They won't want humans to drive anymore because they're not reliable. They can cause accidents. And this is why our insurance policies keep going up and up and up every time. Can you ever work your insurance policy out? I can't. You join it, only to find it goes up £100 the following year. And you think, well, why are they doing that? Don't they want to keep their custom? Obviously they don't. You will never be able to work it out. And the rubbish they give you. Why, I've just had this myself with my insurance. My insurance had gone up with over £100. But guess what? I was able to get them down £100. What was that all about? Well, of course, we know it's money, it's greed. Jobs are going to disappear. And why do they want to control us? Because they want the data from us so that they know what we're doing, where we're going, what we're about, what our politics, what we believe, whether we're religious. Police and army, they will give all that information. We are going to be surveyed and watched 24/7. And it's already happening, so that they can have all this information. And that's why we're going to be seeing all these new generations of vaccines that are going to start to come in our lives. They're already saying that this vaccine will probably only last for about 10 months. So what's going to happen then after 10 months? Do we have another mass vaccination? Look how long this is taking. But who's going to pay for all of this? We're living in crazy times. It's insanity that we're seeing now. We don't know what these vaccines are going to have the effect on the human race, but they will. I think it's a way of reducing the human race. I think we shall see eugenics coming through this. Hitler tried it. The Nazis tried it. Nothing changes. And what I believe we will also see, we will also start to see these camps being built. They're already there to put the migrants there, or illegal immigrants. They put them in these camps, or to re-educate, or Muslims. We know that the Chinese are doing that, to change them. And we'll see more and more of these camps being built around the world. And what is that going to be for? Because it's going to be for the believers, the Christians that are left, who will not take the mark of the beast. They will be able to get rid of them because they will section them. They will put them into these camps. Does it sound familiar what the Nazis were doing with the Jews? Absolutely. Nothing's new under the sun. Nothing changes. It's all the global plan, the reset, the change. And that's why they want to destroy our economies. This is why they're out to rip it down, to change it, so that you become completely dependent on them. And you've got these big names like the Rockefeller Foundation, these people that are controlling the world, the financial system, and so on. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. It's all at our doorsteps. It's all being established. But praise God, even though they're rolling in 5G, and we know that 5G is simply the stepping stone for 6G, because when they've got 6G, then it'll be the mark of the beast, that 666. So it's all coming to pass. So what are we going to do, brothers and sisters? That is the question. Well, we know what to do. We know what the Word of God says to stand. Stand firm. Stand and endure. And you will see that the Lord will be faithful. And he's going to come for us. And he's going to deliver us from all of this. And until then, we stand. We believe, we confess the promises of God, and God is well able to override all of man's technology, all that he's trying to do. He's well able to override all of that, to preserve, to protect us, to bless us, to keep us, and so on. So don't let this consume you. Don't let this cause you to run away or to become fearful. Because sometimes the devil is now roaring very, very loud. And remember, as when I opened up with this teaching, all of this is to try and attack the body of Christ. All of this is to try and destroy you. That is the attack. The attack is on the Christians, and the attack is on the restoration of the land of Israel. That is what he's trying to do. He's trying to stop it, because he knows the Lord Jesus is coming soon, and his feet are shortly to stand on the Mount of Olives, and he will come to rule and reign, and he will put down all his enemy, the false prophet and the Antichrist, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the very beast, the devil himself. So there we are, brothers and sisters. We have a wonderful future ahead of us. Everything is on our side. All of heaven, all of his angels, all of his provision, his name, his Holy Spirit is all at our disposal. But remember this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. That is what we're standing against in these last days. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I just want to leave a thought that occurred to me through this great reset, this economical change, a new capitalism, if you like, to be reinvented. There's something interesting as we close in the book of Revelation, Revelation 17. Turn with me, if you will, to this as we bring this to a conclusion. Revelation 17, verses 12 to 14. Revelation 17, verses 12 to 14. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Now, it goes on, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So what is that about? Well, I believe we are going to see coming up 10 kingdoms, 10 empires who are powerful and strong, have all the technology, the global industries, because that's what gives the power, when we know that power is money. And when the Antichrist comes, and he's going to come as a political leader, as a religious leader, they're going to look upon him, because when he comes, and he's shortly to come, he's coming at a time when there is chaos, confusion in the world. They're planning this new world, this planning of this new control isn't going to go as well as they hoped. There's going to be opposition to this. There will be governments that will oppose this. So it isn't going to be straightforward as we think, because God is going to be opening eyes as well. There are even people who don't believe are seeing this themselves. And so what is going to happen when this leader comes and the beast that comes out of the pit that gives him the power to deceive, to seduce? These 10 kingdoms, 10 horns, in other words, they will give their power over to him. And that's how the Antichrist gets the power. In other words, he will become head over all this globalism. He will become head over all technology. He will become head over all finance and so on. And they will have one mind, one purpose. They will be together in unity. And they will say, peace, peace, peace. We've got peace at last. We've got a leader who can bring this all together. But what does the Lord say? They will say, peace, peace, peace. Then sudden destruction. Because God will not let this triumph. And it says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him, which is you, are called chosen and faithful, because you come back with him to rule and reign and to put all of this deception down and bring order back on the earth. Those paradise conditions for 1,000 years. Are we beginning to see now how this is all coming together and what is going to happen? We're a very, very privileged people, brothers and sisters, because we know that flesh and blood cannot reveal this. This can only come by the Spirit of God. It can come by the Word of God. So continue standing. Continue staying with it. You don't have to retract from the threats, from the powers of darkness that is going on. You don't have to justify. You don't have to side with the powers of darkness or anything, because God is going to reveal himself. He's going to show you how might and great he is, how he can even work in a supernatural way. We have nothing to fear, brothers and sisters. Just stay in here with this. And you watch, God will be faithful. So there we are, standing. That's what we do. Father in heaven, we bless you. We thank you. Lord, we have such security in you. And you above all are so faithful to preserve and to keep us. Lord, we thank you for this. And Lord, I pray that you will use my brothers and sisters, Father, that you will lead them and guide them to those who are fearful, confused, because many are, Lord. This now is a time and an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel, because I believe through these conditions you are getting the attention of the remnant that is finally to come in the last days. So, Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you for our meeting. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their loyalty, their fellowship, their coming each week, their help, encouragement. Lord, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Constancy, follow the master.